NATMW.
Europe will be hosting a ham radio emergency communications conference this fall. RSGB newsman Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
The European Emergency Radio Conference is being organized in the German town of Grossgerau for the weekend 24th and 26th of September, known as EURECT-DL. The conference aims to bring together radio amateur emergency services to show how the two groups can work together to increase the resilience of their communications. I'm Jeremy Booth, G4NJH, and you're tuned to the Amateur Radio Newsline.
The conference is supported by the German Red Cross. More information can be found at www.eurec-dl.de. More this week regarding the Federal Communications Commission report and order changing the amateur radio service rule to allow hams to transmit messages in certain circumstances during disaster drills. This regardless of whether the ham is an employee of the organizations participating in the drill. Amateur Radio Newsline's Bruce Tennant, K6PZW, is here with some background on the decision and the view taken by the FCC in making it.
In issuing its report and order on docket RM10-124, the FCC acknowledged the role that many amateurs can play before and during emergencies. It noted that many government and safety organizations make hams a part of their emergency planning. As such, the Commission agreed that Part 97 rules, as written and codified, had, in essence, prohibited communications in which an operator had a pecuniary interest. This included communications on behalf of an employer, even when that employer was serving the needs and welfare of the American public. Until about a year ago, the FCC had unofficially turned its back when hams employed by cities, townships, emergency response groups, hospitals, and the like provided services during drills and other training exercises. But that changed when one ham who had provided such a noble service posted about his work on an internet website. In turn, other hams who oppose ham radio involvement in anything that might be even remotely construed as business-related reported the posting to Laura Smith at the FCC. This led to the FCC contacting the ham about the matter. This was followed by what many construed to be as a warning from the FCC issued by its rules man Bill Cross, W3TM, at the 2009 Dayton Hamvention.
No communications on behalf of an employer means just that. There's no exception for the 15 minutes you're on break. There's no exception for, gee, it's the weekend. Or there's no exception because you want to do it. If it's your employer, you cannot transmit communications on their behalf. That is a commercial communication.
In the real world, this edict meant that hams who worked for public safety agencies and hospitals could not participate in tests and exercise, even though these same operators would be expected to be ready in time of a real-life emergency situation. This satisfied those hams opposed to any business communications, other groups who are anti-ham radio being involved in any emergency communications. It also brought with it an outcry from those hams who have devoted their lives to emergency preparedness, as well as from a number of emergency communications groups and responders who have traditionally utilized the services of ham radio volunteers. A few months later, the FCC bowed to public pressure and agreed to issue waivers on a case-by-case basis to permit ham radio operators to participate in any training exercises and drills sponsored by government agencies and those that a government entity might appoint to oversee a practice session. In the meantime, several petitions were filed to change 97.113 to, in effect, codify into the amateur service rules what hams have been doing for almost a century. Public safety agencies and other first responders generally supported such a rule change. Several ham groups have also argued the change would help improve the skills of employees who might have to act during disasters. Others felt it could increase the usefulness of programs such as ARIES, RACES, and even MARS. Those who opposed the change felt that it would erode the not-for-profit amateur status of the service. They called the proposal an essential change for the worse and the characteristic of the United States amateur radio service. Others felt a more liberal rules change might encourage hospitals or public safety agencies to replace commercially available commercial mobile radio service equipment with ham gear, or that ham bandwidth might become de facto emergency service spectrum. There was even commentary that such a change could lead to employees being coerced into using their ham privileges, possibly in prohibited ways. But in rendering its decision, the FCC categorically refuted all comments that had been filed against the rules modification. It stated that such a change would not erode amateur radio because it says the new exception is narrowly crafted, that it is essentially limited to a given drill or exercise, and that ham radio communications are only one component of test activities. But to negate concerns that non-government entities like private hospitals could use this rule to pressure employees to get ham licenses or engage in questionable practices, the regulators included a time cap to have hams participate in such drills. For non-government entities, it is 1 hour a week and only two drill sessions of up to 72 hours per year. No time limit was placed on ham radio participation in drills sponsored by government entities. The FCC also dismissed other objections, including the coercion for employees to get licenses argument. In regard to the latter, the regulatory agency said that it did not expect that employer overreaching is likely to be a problem. This, given that the amended rules reflect a spirit of cooperation among the public safety and amateur communities. In the end, the FCC stated that its decision reflects the practical reality that a large number of agencies and organizations at the state and local levels coordinate with their local volunteer amateur radio operators. This to conduct emergency drills and exercises in concert with other modes of communication, such as land mobile radio. It called such activities essential to allow for a practice response on part of the first responder community. In the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bruce Tennant, K6PZW in Los Angeles.
What the FCC appears to be saying is that the needs of the general public in time of disaster outweigh any concerns that members of the ham radio community might have expressed. It's also saying that the only way the ham community can be prepared for real disaster situations is through education and practice. And that's what permitting radio amateurs on the clock to take part in training exercises is really what this is all about. If you've ever wanted your own personal ham radio satellite but thought it was financially out of reach, the Make magazine blog carries a short item on a satellite that can be yours for just $8,000. Called a TubeSat, the magazine says that the kit is for a tiny bird from Inner Orbital Systems that is designed to function as a basic satellite bus or as a simple standalone satellite. Included are the satellite's structural components, printed circuit board, electronic components, solar cells, and everything needed to build the satellite. Also included are the required programming tools. Next blog says that with these components alone, the builder can construct a satellite that puts out enough power to be picked up on the ground by a handheld amateur radio receiver. It says that simple applications include broadcasting a repeating message from orbit or programming the satellite to function as a private orbital amateur radio relay station. Inter Orbital Systems says it can deploy 32 of these tiny satellites simultaneously on a Neptune 30 launcher from the Pacific island of Tonga. The satellites will go into a very low Earth orbit and would probably have a lifetime of only a few months. If you have an extra $8,000 and want to be the first with his or her own personal ham radio satellite, you can read more about the concept online in the Make magazine blog at tinyurl.com/personalbird. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W6MPH repeater serving Pasadena, California. The ARRL says that with 18,270 new amateur radio licenses issued in the first half of this year, 2010 is shaping up to be a banner year for growth in amateur radio. The League reports that so far the number of new licenses issued by the FCC in 2010 is outpacing the January to June 2009 totals by almost 8.5%. That breaks down to 16,844 new licenses in the same time period last year, versus the 18,270 new hams so far in 2010. As of June 30th this year, there are 694,346 licensed amateur radio operators in the United States. Broken down by license class, at the end of June 2010, there were 16,299 novices. 342,064 technicians, 154,284 generals, 60,059 advanced, and 121,640 amateur extra licensees. Not too shabby for a hobby that was listed on the July 17, 2008 Wallet Pop blog as one of the 25 things predicted that would soon disappear in America. The White House's Office of Management and Budget says that the Federal Communications Commission is the most improved federal agency in the area of employee satisfaction. This based on the results of a study titled the 2010 OPM Viewpoint Employee Satisfaction Survey, made public Monday, July 12th. According to the Washington Insider newsletter, The Hill, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski credits new opportunities for employees to provide feedback, the improvement of internal communication, and efforts toward leadership development for achieving this position. He also credited Democratic Commissioner Michael Topp for his work as acting chairman before his tenure began. You might call this next story a case of failing technology. It happened on Friday, July 9th, when audio from NBC Nightly News was heard on the competing CBS Evening News, and it all happened live. According to the website TVNewser.com, when CBS anchor Katie Couric talked to correspondent Mark Strassman, who was doing a live report from Louisiana on the latest on the British Petroleum oil spill, but instead of hearing Strassman, CBS viewers heard the audio from NBC Nightly News reporter Martin Fletcher. Fletcher was across the big Atlantic pond live from London reporting on a spy swap story. When CBS News realized what was going on, it quickly ran Strassman's pre-produced version of the story in its place. There was no mention of the audio snafu when Strassman tossed back to Couric. What caused the problem is anyone's guess. One engineer who has spent 30 years in the technical side of TV news thinks it was likely a problem outside the direct control of the two networks. Rather, he believes it was most likely at the switching hub of one of the signal transmission companies that contracts long-haul satellite and fiber optic feed. But as our expert, that's only a guess on his part. If you want to see and hear this broadcast snafu for yourself, as we write this report, it's online at tinyurl.com/2BM89DY. Now here's a strange story involving electronics law. It seems that Lucasfilm Limited recently served a manufacturer of a handheld laser with a cease and desist letter. This for selling an item it claimed was too close in resemblance to its trademark lightsabers from Star Wars. But the Hong Kong firm decided to use the force of eBay to score some revenge. This by putting the cease and desist letter up for auction. According to the Hollywood Reporter Entertainment Industry newspaper, the letter was not signed by George Lucas himself. Rather, the company marketed the legal document as an opportunity for those to win a piece of Lucasfilm history, as well as contribute to the company's battle with the giant filmmaker. If you can't make it to the 2010 AMSAT UK Space Colloquium, then you're still able to take part vicariously by watching it on your PC or Mac, thanks to the help of the British Amateur Television Club. The event takes place July 31st to August 1st at the Holiday Inn in Guildford, England. Live web streaming begins Saturday the 31st at 0900 UTC. To tune in, just go to www.batc.tv and click on the words Live Event. Popular Communications Magazine has launched what it calls a new and easier-to-navigate website. The updated site features a clean new look and a streamlined user interface to make it quicker and easier for visitors to find what they're looking for. Current issue highlights include sample pages in full-color layout to give prospective readers the ability to see what the magazine itself looks like in print. Live links to internet sites mentioned in upcoming issues' editorial content will help users further explore topics of interest to them. Highlights of back issues remain on the website with easier access than in the past. The site also includes contact information for editors and columnists, direct links to advertisers' websites, other CQ Communications publications, and an extensive collection of hobby radio links and radio club information. In addition, a direct link to the magazine's Facebook page makes it simple for readers to provide feedback and connect with other hobbyists. The new Popular Communications website is in cyberspace at www.popular-communications.com. The ham radio social season continues with word that the giant Tokyo Ham Fair for 2010 is slated for August 21st and 22nd at the Tokyo Big Sight Arena. Ham Fair is sponsored by the Japan Amateur Radio League and is one of the largest gatherings of radio amateurs from across the Pacific Rim. It's also where many Pacific Rim ham radio manufacturers give a first glance at the products they plan to introduce worldwide in the coming year. You can see more about the Tokyo Ham Fair in English at tinyurl.com/334JZB8. If you're interested in visiting the Tokyo Ham Fair, you can email the planners, intl@jarl.jp, for information and assistance. Some names in the news. We begin with word that the winners of the 2010 World Radio Sport Team Championship have been announced. Taking the gold medal was the Russian R32F team of Vladimir Aksonov, RW1AC, and Alexei Nikolov, RA1AIP. The silver medal was garnered by the Estonia R33A team of Tano Vox, ES5TV, and Tuivo Halikivi, ES2RR. Third place, or bronze, went to the R33M team of Dan Craig, N6MJ, and Chris Hurlbut, KL9A of the United States. The World Radio Sport Team Championship takes place every few years in a different country. Teams use the same power and identical antennas. The stations are also geographically close to each other in an attempt to level the playing field as much as possible so the winners can truly be said to be the best contesters in the world. The 2010 World Radio Sport Team Championship was held near Moscow, Russia. This year, 48 pairs of participants from around the world took part. The ARRL has announced that Norm Lauderette, WA4HYJ, is to be the recipient of the 2010 Philip J. McGann Silver Antenna Award. According to the announcement, Lauderette of Castleberry, Florida, has been an ARRL public information officer for two decades. In that time, he has demonstrated outstanding volunteer public relations success on behalf of amateur radio at both the local and regional level. His numerous published articles, both within and outside of the amateur radio community, have enhanced overall support of the hobby. At the same time, his effective use of local political and police relationships has fostered an environment that significantly increased regional public awareness of amateur radio. This is Ham Radio News for today's radio amateur. From the United States of America, we are the Amateur Radio Newsline, with links to the world from our only official website at www.arnewsline.org and being relayed by the volunteer services of the following radio amateur. Chemists in the United States and Russia have created crystals that can twist and untwist. This, they say, points to a much more varied process of crystal growth than previously thought, and could pave the way for new electronic products. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, is in the newsroom with the details.
Crystal growth has traditionally been viewed as a collection of individual atoms, molecules, or small clusters adding to a larger block that remains in a fixed translational relationship to the rest. But New York University and St. Petersburg State University chemists have discovered a wholly new phenomenon for growth in crystal structure that continually changes shape as it grows. To do this, the researchers focused on crystals from sulfuric acid, which is a derivative of the amino acid glycine. As molecules were added to the end of the crystalline needles, stress built up on the tips of the crystals that resulted in a helical twist. The process was reversed when the crystals thickened from the opposite end and the growing tip thereby undid its twisted formation. The researchers' work, which appears in the latest issue of the Journal of the American Chemical Society, may explain some of the properties of high polymers. These are used in clothing and liquid crystal displays, among other consumer and telecommunications-related products. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, in the newsroom in Los Angeles.
You can read more on this fascinating scientific breakthrough online at tinyurl.com/crystal-twist. It may well be the end of the road for the amateur radio version of the digital mode ROS. It is, if you accept an internet posting by its creator, Jose Alberto Nieto Ross. Writing on his website, the software's author says that the ROS version 1.0, released on July 11th, will be the last. He says that he came to this decision after reading what he terms as too many derogatory comments directed towards him in Digital Group and on the ROS Digital Motive Group. Based on this, he says it's simply not worth it to him to work further to evolve this software. It should be noted that ROS is still not a legal transmit mode in the United States. The Council of the South African Radio League has put in place some strict rules regarding ham radio testing in that nation. This in the hope of streamlining the South African radio amateur examination process so as to deliver the results and call signs to successful candidates faster. Effective immediately, candidates can only apply for one examination. In other words, applicants can take only the Class A or Class B at a single session, and it will no longer be possible to sit for both examinations at the same time. Also, the closing date to apply will be strictly adhered to, and no late entries will be accepted. A candidate whose registration is incomplete by the closing date will not be able to take the examination and will not receive an examination number. According to a spokesperson for the South African Radio League, while it may sound harsh, the reality is that it is the few candidates who do not comply with the guidelines who delay the call sign and licensing process for all the others. Spanish radio amateurs have received an extension allowing them to use the 70 megahertz band until July 1, 2011. The Spanish Department of Posts and Telecommunications first announced the temporary authorization of 70.150 to 70.200 megahertz back in October of 2008. A new ham radio and space record on one of the hobby's oldest birds. At 2226 UTC on July 15, PY5LF in Curitiba, Brazil, worked K3SZH via AMSAT Oscar 7. And achieved a new DX record for that bird of 7,843 kilometers, which equates to 4,898 miles. What makes this contact all the more amazing is that AMSAT Oscar 7 was launched some 36 years ago on November 15, 1974, from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California. AO7 still continues to provide limited service, even though its batteries failed years ago, and is only operational when its solar panels are in sunlight. The September 1st deadline of the call for papers for the 2010 AMSAT Space Symposium and annual meeting is rapidly approaching. AMSAT requests that those submitting papers send them the tentative title and abstract of your presentation as soon as possible. The abstract does not require any special format. Simply send an email to the proceedings editor to k9jkm@comcast.net with the basic information. This would include the author name, call sign, and a few sentences that describe your proposed topic. On the air, members of the Movi Mimiento de Radio Aficionados de Puerto Rico will sponsor a special event station July 25th. This to commemorate the 58th anniversary of the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. They'll use the call WP4NPC on FSB and digital mode, operate from 10 to 40 meters in a DX edition style operation from 1400 to 2300 UTC. UFL via WP4NPC, PO Box 3484, Miamu, that's BAYAMOU, Puerto Rico 00958. And from August 7th to the 14th, listen for special event station N6L to be active from California's Lassen Volcanic National Park. This will be a multi-operator portable and mobile operation with activity on the high frequency, WORC and VHF bands. A QSL and certificate is available, USL via K6LSN. NDX, PA4N, operating portable MU, is operating from Guernsey Island, mostly on CW, but also some RIDI and FSB on 160 through 6 meters. USL via the Bureau to its home call. And listen for PG4DX, operating portable P4 from Aruba through August 6th. Most operations are near the IOTA frequency. USL via the Bureau or direct to his home call. I1FQH is operational as 5B7DX from Capeline Village in central Togo through July 30th. USL via the Bureau or direct or logbook of the world or to his home call. Lastly, F5NDF will be active portable 6W from Senegal between October 25th and November 1st. His operation will be on CW on the high frequency band, QSL to his home call sign. And finally this week, a special ham radio link will allow visitors to the Gus Grissom Memorial in Mitchell, Indiana's Spring Mill State Park to talk with the Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas on Gus Grissom Day. Jack Parker, W8ISH, is in Indianapolis and has the details.
The Gus Grissom Memorial at Spring Mill State Park honors the astronaut who was America's second man in space. Virgil I. Gus Grissom made that suborbital flight in the Mercury 7 Liberty Bell capsule. Grissom grew up in Mitchell, Indiana, near the state park. He learned to fly as a boy and flew fighter jets for the Air Force in Korea. The memorial tells about Grissom's life and contributions to the space program. Grissom and two other astronauts died in January 1967 when their Apollo 1 command module caught fire on the launch pad at the Kennedy Space Center. Museum artifacts include Grissom's spacesuit, one of the space capsules he flew in, and personal items from his youth and adulthood. During the day-long event, visitors can talk to the Johnson Space Center in Houston through a special ham radio link set up by the Hoosier Hills Amateur Radio Club. They will be operating on 40 and 20 meters. The Southern Indiana Hams have planned a mini fox hunt for the kids and will provide a worksheet for kids to spell out their name in Morse code. They will use the straight key and oscillator to finish the code sending exercise. The Amateur Radio Spatial Event Station will be on the air from late morning until the park closes at 11 p.m. Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
Amateur Radio, honoring one of the pioneers of the United States Space Program who led the way to help conquer the final frontier. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the CTC Communicators, CQ Magazine, the FCC, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Radio Netherlands, RAIN, the RSGB, the Southgate News, and Australia's WIA News, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6 ITF at the editor's desk, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2010, all rights reserved.
The time is 12:50 a.m. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. Good morning. The time is 1 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. W2VL repeater system. The time is 1:23 a.m. 73 and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System. time is 3:10 a.m. Morning. WQVL repeater system. Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the WQVL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the WQVL amateur radio repeater system.
This is KA21CD listening.
WQVL.
Who? Who's listening? Who? W2H3.
They shouldn't be allowed to drive. If they are allowed to drive, they shouldn't be allowed, so that's what I have to say. And this is the KAD Mobile on the Bill's Meadowbrook.
Yep, yep, yep. This moron doing 40 miles an hour in the middle lane. Oh, my goodness. My goodness, Vinny, I tell you, it's ridiculous.
Straight ridiculous. Cause ridiculous thing of a volume.
Uh-huh. So how does it feel to hold a real microphone in your hand?
Oh, all kidding aside, I mean, even the microphone, that was one of the things that was interesting about running the HT. That microphone wasn't like the Kenwood. It seemed like more of a mic than what the Kenwood had on my THF6, so it's, but it's a microphone, but I used to have a big one. I have the Heathkit. Well, I don't have the mic for it anymore, but, that was a pretty big size mic, because that had the touch top pad on the other side.
Uh-huh. Hey, I'm going to head for the BQE. I'm a mile from the BQE. I'm going to go to the heliport. You know the heliport? Down by South Street Seaport, you know the heliport? I got a rendezvous. I got a rendezvous at the heliport this morning. I'm supposed to be here at 6. Ew, let's see if I make it.
The heliport, remember when they used to take off the Pan Am building?
Vinny, I said down by South Street Seaport. Pan Am building is a little more midtown, my friend. I'm going to the one down by the seaport, down by the ferry terminal. That's where I'd be going. I gotta get a gander of the Kosciuszko Bridge here before I make my decision. Although all the traffic reports are telling me that I'm screaming here. I don't know. I'm a little nervous doing this. I'm a little nervous, Vinny. Ah, what the heck? What the heck? Although at 5:58, I'm going to be swinging over to 145-800 and listening to Colonel Douglas Wheelock.
Interesting. No, it's just interesting. Remember years ago, they used to take off the Pan Am. I know you're going down to the seaport, but remember when the helicopters would take off from the Pan Am building until one crashed up there or something?
Yeah, one guy makes a stupid mistake and everybody's trying to pay for it.
Well, yeah, I think they're going to have to take a crane to get it down or something like that. I think it was something with the wheel that hit the side of the building. I don't know. It was laying out. I vaguely fail to remember what happened.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. So what'd you do all weekend, man? What'd you do? Besides put a radio in your vehicle.
You did a nice job on the install, by the way. I power washed my sidewalks. So, do for cleaning.
Sounds exciting. Sounds very exciting. I went here, there, everywhere. I was helping my buddy with a trailer of his, getting it ready for some more welding, more cross beams, and this and that. Now we need some hardware, and we took a ride this afternoon over to Lowe's, where I dumped a couple of hundred bucks and some toolage. Just starting to do the old fill in the missus and the home, location. So that's what I did. Put some more welding supplies and all kinds of stuff. Then came home. Went out to eat last night. A couple of buddies of mine. Ate like a pig. Then I'm paying for it. Woo-wee!
I told you this thing. I went to see my cousin's band play Friday night. A little bit. It's a place called the Fisher in East Meadow. I used to Rockaway. Fun place over there, actually. I was never been to play. Nice.
Yep, 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 yep. I made my way down to BQE, W2H3, Butchie Metropolitan Avenue. Pushing all the snow people out of my way.
Roger. Well, we're on the northern state, and it's moving clean and green.
As they say. Good to dive down underneath here. Gonna be on the shelf. Oh, the BQE, baby. Be doing the old sweeping left-hand turn. Coming up to good old Kent Avenue. Trick out a mile. You know trick out a mile? You know? It's like turn. Trick out a mile.
I got a question. My son and I are going to go to Cooperstown. What's some of the major repeaters up that way? Off the top of your head.
What was that?
Up to Cooperstown a couple weeks. You know what the major repeaters are that way?
Vinny, I'm sorry. It's a big punch. What was the name of the town?
Hey, we're going to go to Cooperstown, New York. You know any major repeaters up that way? KQ2H.
You can say it again. You got some information for him in the Cooperstown repeater stuff?
KQ2H. Bring it up.
KQ2H, is that the repeater, or is that just your call sign there? You got some info for Vinny?
No, that's a repeater, KQ2H, K2KIF. Oh. All right, Roger, thanks. I'll look it up. Yeah, they got three link repeaters. I can't remember. I think one is in Liberty, one is in... There's three of them, yeah. As you're going up... As you go up the throughway, it'll have continuous coverage from here all the way up. That sounds good. I'll look it up. Pick it up, John. This is KA2NCD in the group. I'm right by the county line.
Uh-huh.
W2H3.
Hillary Street, Brooklyn. Making my way for the Brooklyn Bridge. No, wrong. I can't go over the Brooklyn Bridge. What am I saying? The Manhattan Bridge. I'd be in big trouble if I go over the Brooklyn Bridge with this thing.
N2ZEP. Get up, Terry. There's another station there. I didn't get his handle. You turn over to him. John's in there. Good morning. This is the KA2NCD Jumping Mobile.
Good morning, all. Is the roads wide open, or did everyone get an early start this morning? That's the big question. And since there is that other station in there that you didn't get the handle, I don't know who to hand it off to other than saying, to that other station.
You're talking about me, K2KIF. Well, we're just listening. The name is John. Over to the next station.
W2HCB. Gary, all I can tell you is I got on the expressway, there's a 57 at 5:30, and I'm sitting here looking at the sign for the Manhattan Bridge. One traffic light away from getting on the Manhattan Bridge. So you do the math, my friend. Bensley?
Well, it's clear, so I left a little early this morning, but it is clear, so you shouldn't have any problems navigating should you decide the northern state if you're heading into the city this morning. The traffic's lighter this morning, so I guess more people are on vacation this week, so it should be okay. You know, this is then get onto the LA from the Clearview. I'm about to hit that approach in about 2 minutes.
Good morning again. Okay. So we got two Johns, and we got the dumper. And for the other John, my name is Gary. And Nassau County better reset all these red light cameras. They got them flashing way too frequently. If you make a left turn on a left turn signal, it's flashing its lights at you. I don't know how you can distinguish it, but I'm giving it to John. Will one of the Johns pick it up?
Okay, I'll pick it up. Manhattan side, Manhattan Bridge. W2HCB. Headed for the canal, the hook of left. Not bad, man. 530, 555, Gary.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Mach 5 with my hair on fire. Bentley?
Yeah, the other John, I think, was probably just listening and monitoring. Gary, the whole deal with those is the following. This was brought up at a civic meeting about that. And if you don't make a complete stop, if you just roll slightly, you're going to get your picture taken. And it's considered rolling through the stop sign, so stop light. So that's why you're seeing the flash off. If you're at a complete standstill, it won't go, but you have to stop completely. Pick it up.
Well, corner of Hempstead Turnpike and Merrick Avenue, there is a newly installed camera, and on Merrick Avenue, not on Hempstead Turnpike. And the north-south direction lanes were at a complete standstill. The lights turned green for left turns only. And those were the only vehicles moving, and this camera's flashing off. And the camera capturing southbound traffic flashed, and I was going northbound simultaneously. So we probably both got our pictures taken by that same camera. So we'll see what happens. I wasn't even the first car in line. John?
Oh, yeah. Good luck fighting again. It's going to be a fun one. Oh, they'll come up with some stupid reason why you were responsible, my friend. Anyway, can't pick up the work phone. It's vibrating. Joy. I'll be right back. W2HCB.
The cat. even mind the rolling stop bit, because that is technically the law. But if I'm making a legal left turn or a legal right turn, I should be able to go through without having to explain it on a picture. And if they send me the picture, I'm going to send it back circling the green arrow that is showing on the stoplight, because they show the stoplight in the picture, and saying, okay, folks, explain this one. I get a green arrow. I'm making a left turn. Why is my picture being taken? Let's see if John is back. If not, Vince.
Over the LIE, because they're underneath. So,
Like I said, it's pretty accurate, 90-95%, so I'll take the accuracy, so it's working for me. And everything else down where we are, it's always going off, and you always know they're always taking pictures. And when I went down to see my cousin's band plays Friday night, there was some down there in East Rockaway, too, and they were going off. And so it's a great little tool. It's a little pricey, but it does the trick. It's a good countermeasure. All right, I'm signing here. I'm at my destination, so we'll see. 737, have a good one, and you should have a clear shot all the way to Manhattan. This is KA2NCD. We'll be listening out.
Okay, Vinsley, I'm at the county line. Yes, traffic is quite light today. All right. Have a good day. And, John, if you're off the work phone, it's over to you. If not, N2ZEP is listening.
The time is 6:10 a.m. Good morning. This is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Remembered using the car, so Had the door been ajar all weekend long, that would have been enough.
That probably would have been. I've been lucky. I leave my car light. If my car light stays on overnight, nothing really happens. I'm lucky. But my truck, I mean, there's times I don't use it for a week, and I found that the kid turned on that little light in the back.